Okay, so we want to continue and come back here to Revelation 11. There's going to be those two anointed ones. It talks about them numerous places in the Bible. So, carrying on here in Revelation 11, verse 5, let's just quickly read over this so we know what's going to happen, because a lot of things have to happen before, in this period of time, just before those trumps begin. And get a good understanding of this. Verse 5, "And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed, in like manner be killed." And somehow they have this power and God's protection that if others try to kill them in a particular way or say things or whatever, it comes right back on them. And human beings, of course, don't know what they're doing. It's Satan within humans trying to do a lot of bad things. And verse 6, "These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy." So for 3.5 years, if God so inspires, and when he inspires them to do it, and that's the only time they'll do any plagues or miracles or anything else. They have the power, though. For 3.5 years, no rain on the earth. Do you know what that one thing would do? The first year, people would still be, yeah, it's some kind of a trick, or it's cycles. Second year, their first year reserves of grain and stuff is gone. And now the earth is like a concrete block. No rain. No rain anywhere. Now the crops aren't coming up. Now we start having famine. You start having famine, you start having pestilence, you start having diseases. Everything in society starts to break down. What if the two witnesses would say, "Oh, the Great Lakes. Well, that's nice fresh drinking water, right? Now it's blood." And they turn it to blood. Do you know what that would do? Well, all the power plants would close. Now you don't have electricity, at least in that area. Now you have all the smelly dead fish. Now you have all the disease. Now you have it rampant. Just from those two things, it would eventually touch all the United States. And it's incredible. God's power is so awesome. You know, people always go up against God, and he could go, bink, like a little flea, and shoot you across the universe. You know, what was in our thinking? He's a marvelous Father. So all these days in their prophecy, boom. You know, no more rain. "And have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will." Well, their will be of the Father's will. So he's controlling that. It's not two renegades running around, not two foolish human beings that have been given God's power to do anything they so desire. These are his servants. You know, did Jesus Christ ever mess up? Never. Did the apostles mess up? Never. And these two won't either, because they'll be driven by God's Spirit. Their will be the Father's will. Anything the Father wills, they go, "Oh, absolutely, there we go." That would be nice, wouldn't it? That your mind actually would be in sync with the Father. Well, it will be someday. Look forward to that. Verse 7, "And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit." Now John, and you have to study John, but he always goes back and lets you know exactly who he's talking about. The beast wasn't in the pit yet. But he's already seen these visions, and he's writing this. And he wants everyone to know, "No, I want to let you know exactly who's coming after these. Who's going to kill these two witnesses? It's no one else. I'm putting the blame where it is. It was the guy. This is that guy. This is Satan." The beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. So after they're done doing their job, God allows them to be killed. "And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt." All right, now it is. and that's Jerusalem. There's nothing holy going on in Jerusalem now, where also the Lord was crucified. So we know that is Jerusalem. And they of the people and the kindreds and the tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. Now, when you're in the Middle East like that, you die. You're buried at sundown. They don't let people lay around. They will, these, because we have all of this in the Bible. It says after 3.5 days, they're going to come up. And if they come up, everything that they've been saying is true. And this great, wonderful 1,000 years of peace and joy and human utopia is coming. And Satan's really going to be taken away. Because as we read through these trumps, Satan has been exposed to all mankind. They know. And they know who's putting it on them. So they leave him out there. I suspect they'll probably behead these two. There's not going to be any tricks this time with maybe little drugs or a coma or anything else. You know, cut their heads off. Let's see you bring them up now. If they come up now, we know this is no, you know, like David Copperfield or something doing a trick on us. No smoke, no mirrors. It will be done. Whatever they do, it'll be done in a way that there's no doubt whether these two are dead. No trickery here. No switching the bodies. They'll probably have TV cameras on them and satellite all over the world. Everyone wants to know if they're going to come up. Because at this time, as we read further, you will see that the human race has gone through hell on earth. And this is their only hope. The words of these two men. It's their only hope. They have no other hope. Everything's been brought down. And if they jump on up, something good's going to happen. If they stay there, there's more hell. And they know it. Everyone's going to watch. God does things in a big way when he does it. Doesn't do it in secret. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. There's another explanation to this, and it's different than what you've heard before, and I don't have the time to go into it. I'm watching my clock here. I have to keep on going. But in reality, the people are going to be with joy watching these two witnesses at that time because of what's coming. And we'll go through that at a later time. And after these 3 days, and after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God, and this is what John has seen, entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. I mean, what? I would lose it, wouldn't you? We've never seen anything like that. And, of course, going through all those seven trumps to boot. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up here, come up here. And they ascended. Whoa, people see them go up now, up to heaven. Yes, somebody's going to heaven, aren't they? And these two are on their way. And they ascend up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. See, Satan's still alive. Satan's still here. Satan's watching that. In the same hour was there a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of them 7,000, and remnants were frightened and gave glory to the God of heaven. They gave glory to the God of heaven. Why? Because they knew what the two witnesses were saying. They knew. They were there. So, a big thing happens here. But that covers the whole 3.5 years. See, now keep that in mind as we go on now to start to go through some of these, some of the trumps. Because it seems as though the two witnesses will announce somehow these trumps. I mean, they will be told by God. they will announce it. It will happen. And even if they don't particularly just announce them as they're going to be happening, they certainly are going to tell everyone, hey, these things are happening. This, you're going to start hearing trumpets. And these are the things that are going to happen. So they will be aware. We want to turn back now to Revelation 6. It's always good to go through these things at least once a year to remind ourselves. Because as during the year is what has been happening, God has revealed more and more understanding on all kinds of different subjects. So now when you come back and reread it, you have more understanding and you get more out of that. Starting here in verse 6, and I'm not going to go into all the seals. That's a whole another sermon that we can go into and explain that. And I may tackle even a little bit there at the feast time, so you get an overview. But I want to concentrate. I told you this before. Revelation 6, starting in verse 15. And we're just breaking in the context here. This is part of that sixth seal. Not trump, seal. There's six seals. There's seven trumps. I mean, there's not six seals. There's seven seals. There's seven trumps. And there's seven last plagues, or vials. So, and I'm going to write out some kind of a chart. I hate charts. But I'm going to make a very simple chart with just no speculation, because we don't deal in that anymore. Just, this is what he says is going to happen. This is the timing on this. And it'll be easy for everyone to look and not get confused. In verse 15, Revelation 6, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men. Now we know from that series of sermons on Christ's life, or not Christ, Satan's life and death, that he's talking here about all the demons, about all the ones who are really ruling these nations, the mighty men. It says, and every bondsman and freeman hide themselves. They're going to hide themselves in dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains and rocks, oh, fall on us and hide. Well, if a human being, if that's falling, I'm going to kill him. Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. That's Christ. This is the wrath of the Lamb. You know why these satanic beings don't want this? Because they're the ones who have persecuted and killed the saints. They're the ones who have gone opposite to God all this time and fought his church. And when they fought his church, they fought Jesus Christ. And Christ was the head. He said he's going to save us. Oh, he's going to. He's going to. From the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. Of his wrath. The Lamb's wrath. And who shall be able to stand? They can't. Now remember, the Father is going to have his wrath and it's going to be total. This is only going to be partial. Now, what else here is happening? These seven trumps now are about to come. They're about to come, but God says something else. He says, no, no, hold back those angels, hold back those trumps. There's something else that has to happen here before we allow those trumps to go. And remember, as far as we can tell, most all these trumps are in the last half or toward the end of that 3.5 year period. So all these other things, water turning to blood and the pestilences and plagues and no rain and everything else to weaken and shake and bring down all the nations. Not against mankind, although they will suffer at that point, but against Satan and against his kingdom. Now, all this has been going on, remember. Now it's getting time when these trumps, what happens when the trump sounds? You'll be saved from the enemy. He's going to make war with that enemy. And now God's going to be in it, and he's going to take care of this, his power. So we read here in chapter 7, something else has to happen. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, and that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea or any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels. And he tells you, because these four angels are going to come down and just really tear it up. These are the trumps, four of them. And he says, he cries out to these four angels, and he says, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. So these angels are going to hurt the earth and the sea. And this other, with the seal of living God, says, wait, wait. He says in verse 3, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees. Because something has to be accomplished. Till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. This is John. He said, well, what do you mean? What number? What is this? And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel. And he's talking here spiritually, the spiritual nation. And he has grafted us all into that nation and put us within these tribes. We don't know, but this is the way he's done it. So the 144,000 have to be sealed. How are you sealed? You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you are sealed. So right to the end there, there will still have to be somebody baptized. Right at the end. Well, there was somebody way at the beginning, so there'll be somebody way at the end. God continues to do his work within those churches, even during that 3.5 year period. And whenever the last one that was written in the book, the Lamb's Book of Life, before the foundation of the world, is sealed, then it starts. Then it starts. We thought, oh my, most all, everyone has to be here by now. It's getting near the end. No, there's new people. We've just baptized new people in the church. And they're still first fruits. We know that. There's probably not a whole bunch. But who knows? God will reveal that. We know that they'll all be taken care of, and that's the important part. So that has to happen. And so once that happens, then these angels can begin, and they can bring this out. So in chapter 8 of Revelation, chapter 8, let's start with verse 1. Here it starts now. And when, it's all a little disjointed because, let me get my thoughts together. I almost called John Satan. John, when he sees this vision, he sees this whole thing going on. Now he has to come back and write about this. And he's very concise in how he does it. And he puts these, of course they weren't in chapters, but he lumps them in different areas. And you see it's all overlapping. And he may tell you what happens, and then he tells you in a number of chapters here, well, within that time, this is happening, and this is happening. And once you have the overall plan, then it's very easy to see. Coming onto a cold, it may be a little confused. For the last 40 years and worldwide, it was a little confused, was it? Because we didn't have the whole plan. We had an idea, pretty well what was happening, but didn't have it right on. So, in chapter 8, verse 1, and when he had opened the seventh seal, now this seal has to open too, which we didn't have time to read about. Oh, I guess I'll have to tell it, won't I? There was silence in heaven about a space of a half an hour. And of course, this is the old joke that proves that there'll be no women in heaven. Now that goes back on Dean Blackwell's back, okay? I'll put it back there. But it was funny to me. Every year he used to say it, and I was a kid and I used to laugh. Now I don't think it's so funny because now I'm bigger and these women are all bigger and now they can beat me up. So You know, I don't want to say that. It's an old joke. So, there's this silence in heaven for half an hour. It's probably God asked all the men to be quiet because they're the bigger talkers than women anyway. In verse 2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and them, and to them were given seven trumps. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there, and was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. This is going to be some mighty things we're going to see in the future. This is going to be fantastic. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And all these things mean things. They're very important to God, otherwise it wouldn't be there. And we'll learn all about that later, at a later date. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. So you got these burning hot coals, and you whoosh. So that shows something. And there was voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumps, prepared themselves to sound. So here it comes. Here it comes. The first, verse 7, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass were burned up. Horrendous things happening here. This is Christ's wrath, the wrath of the Lamb. Because what he had done, Satan had done to all of us, all of the first fruits in his church, and all mankind there. Verse 8, and the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And a third part of the ships were destroyed. These are monstrous things. I can't explain to you exactly what he's going to do. I can only read that. But this is big time stuff here. Whatever it is, John is seeing it, trying to explain it the best way he can. And a third angel sounded, verse 10, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called wormwood. And a third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Must have been some kind of a poison or something in there. We'll find this all out later, but terrible things here are happening to the earth. And you notice a third part of this, third part of this, third part of this. This is Christ's wrath. When God's vengeance comes upon it, it's total. It'll be total. Verse 12, and the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so as a third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel. So he saw in this vision this angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." This woe, woe, woe are the three angels yet to sound. These first four, as we read about, did their work. Took out about a third of the world, a third of the people, a third of everything, didn't it? He has to do that to bring down Satan's governments. These are Satan's governments, not human governments. Satan runs it. It's his thrones. It's his men, his princes, his presidents. That's what's running. So he weakens it and breaks it and builds, takes down the base and brings it all down. He can't totally destroy it. Mankind's going to go on for another 1,000 years here. So he doesn't take it all out. But Christ has his wrath against this thing that killed him, remember. And by that time, we'll have killed all of us, probably. So he says, whoa, whoa, whoa. And he wasn't riding a horse trying to get him to stop. He's saying, whoa, whoa, whoa to the inhabitants of the earth. Because there's three more big time trumpet blasts. So we'll carry on in chapter 9. And the fifth angel, in verse 1, sounded. His trump goes off. Now remember, three witnesses. Boy, we're adding and taking away from Scripture. The two witnesses, they're there during this. The people are there. Okay? So the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. He's getting this bottomless pit ready, isn't he? And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as a smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air was darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. It's almost like a volcano. You know what happens? It just, when that stuff gets up there, it blackens the sun and everything else. I'm not saying this is a volcano. I'm just saying it's going to, something like that's going to happen, because it's darkening everything. And there came out of the smoke, locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as scorpions of the earth have power. Now, I believe fully that what he is talking about here is that by this time the two witnesses have exposed Satan, exposed the demons. They have no more reason to stay hidden, to stay invisible, do they? Everybody knows it's those things that are doing this. And I believe that this is indicating to us that they become visible to mankind. It's just like all these big alien pictures, these weird things that chase humans around. Why do you think we always have those dumb movies out there? I didn't even watch those. They're weird. That's what these things are. That's what demons are. I think this is what's going to happen. And he says he gives them this power. The scorpions of the earth had power. Verse 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, what's left, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Remember, they had to be sealed. First fruits are sealed. Anyone else still on the earth, which there are a lot of human beings, they can go after them. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should torment. I looked up the word torment. It means torment. Really rocking over these people. And that they should torment them 5 months. And their torment was as a torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. These scorpions don't always kill you, but wow, they bite and yow. They sting you and you swell up and you get sick, it hurts. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of these locusts were like unto horses prepared in the battle, and on their heads were crowns like gold, and their faces were faces of men. And they had hair as women, as hair of women, and their teeth were like teeth of lion. They had breastplates, and as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings. These are weird-looking creatures. The sound of their wings, as was the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. So 5 months they're running and chasing human beings all over. And human beings are cowering, trying to get into places where they can't be taken by these things and hurt. What a witness. God's exposing these things. He's finally exposing Satan for what he is. And mankind, all the living mankind of that time, sees this and understands this. They start to understand, that's my enemy. God's not my enemy. Those two witnesses aren't my enemy. These things are my enemy because they're right out there doing it. And these lousy demons and all these things are running for their lives. And they're hurting. If they could have wiped out mankind, they would have. That's why God says, you can't kill them. Because they would have wiped out humanity right there. God says, no, I have another plan. We have to have human beings here. So verse 11, they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon. And his Greek name is, and it says he's a destroyer. That's what that means, a destroyer. Who's the destroyer? Well, we know. Okay, well, all this going on for 5 months. And it says, one woe is past. And behold, there comes two woes more hereafter. Another old joke. This is the beginning of World War II. I can't even say it, but you know what I'm saying. I'm trying to rush because I'm running out of time here. And then the mouth does not work. So going on. Now we come, and this is the second woe, and the sixth angel sounding, and heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Don't ask me what this is, because I don't know. He doesn't explain it. But there's four angels. They're bound there. They're going to do a particular job. And the four angels were loosed, which were, and listen to this, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. Interesting. There's four angels. One, we hadn't read it this way before, one of the angels were prepared to do something for an hour. One of the angels is prepared to do something for a day. One of them is prepared to do something for a month. And one is prepared to do something for a year. Isn't it? That's the way it is. Now, what all the time is and everything else, we don't understand. God may have different timing than we do. But this is what he says to us. Four angels, four jobs, they're going to do something. And this, I may add very quickly, in this sixth trump, we always used to think it was Gog and Magog and all that. Of course it isn't. Or it's a big hordes coming over from, you know, from Russia and China and all that. It is. And this isn't talking about man. It's talking about angels. It's talking about the spirit beings. It's talking about Satan and all that's left of his spirit being army of demons. And it's talking about God's angels. And there's going to be a war. And mankind is going to see this war between these two spirit forces. And so he looks up and he sees in this vision, verse 16, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. And you work that out, it's 200 million. 200 million! If they're human beings, you could never get 200 million people to cooperate and do anything at once anyway, could you? You know, these are spirit beings and they're going to fight. Verse 17, and thus I saw horses in the vision, and them that sat upon them having the breastplate of fire, and what this word is almost is smoke, and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. These aren't missiles flying around. This is spirit stuff. This is spirit stuff. This is brimstone. When God uses brimstone, it's bad news on whoever is getting that. By these three, By these three was the third part of men or angels. Remember, can be swapped, man or angels. The translators happen to put men in here because that's what they thought. That's what Satan wanted them to think. No, no, these are angels. By these three was the third part of these angels killed. Yes, you can kill spirit. Not spirit with God, but the spirit with angels. They were brute beasts made to be destroyed. They were killed by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and their heads were, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of men, or these angels, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, because they worshiped Satan, and idols of gold, and silver, and brass, and stone, and of wood. Who gave us all of that garbage on this earth? Satan did. That's part of his thing, and that's what they do. They don't worship God, they worship themselves and all this other garbage. It says, which neither can see, nor walk, nor hear, nor walk. They're still worshiping dummy things. And it says, neither repented they of their murderers. Who is the murderer? Satan. And all of his demons. Nor of their sorceries. Who gives the sorceries? It's all Satan. They're the ones who perform that. Nor of their fornication. They're not worshiping God. Nor of their thefts. Just stealing and ripping and tearing God's people apart. The people of the world. And this is when a third part of Satan's armies, boom, they go down. They're dead. They're dust in the earth. Spirit can die. And they do. But not spirit that's been empowered with life eternal from God Almighty. That's different. Turn here to... Now that was the end of woe number two. Just for a quick timing, turn over to Revelation 11, verse 14. This is right after those two witnesses. And everything that they're doing. And what does it say now? After they're dead, after all this happens, what does John say? Gives us timing so you can't get mixed up. He says, the second woe is past. And behold, the third woe comes quickly. And it's true. And it says here in verse 15, and the seventh angel sounded. And that's about where it stops. And you learn this later on in the days of the Feast of Tabernacles, and that will carry on with this story. When that seventh angel, when that seventh trump blows, it is that resurrection. And we read that over in, don't have time, but over in 1 Corinthians 15, 52 through 58. That's what happens. That seventh trump sounds, and the resurrection of the first fruits happen. And it will happen. And the dead in Christ shall rise. They shall come up. We'll get into that more in atonement. We didn't understand what atonement really was. Atonement shows the first resurrection and everything that God is going to do with that. And that's why these 2 days are very close together, trumpets and atonement. Boy, in God's time, it was like dotting at the end of the sentence and boom, here came, you know, atonement. That's about a week for us or so. But it's a very short timing. Because atonement happens, and we're going to be going into that, of course, on the Day of Atonement. And we also read at this time, back in Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3, it talks about that bottomless pit. And this is the time when Jesus Christ and the angels are going to grab Satan after they have beaten him down and ripped away all of his kingdoms. And they put him and throw him into the put chains around him, throw him into the bottomless pit, and he's there for 1,000 years. We'll learn more about that 1,000 years when we get to the Feast of Tabernacles. But this is an awesome time. But when those trumpets are blowing, he saves us from that enemy, doesn't he? And it's a day of memorial of that. And every time that he's ever blown the trumpet, and every time he blows those trumpets over all the burnt sacrifices forever, that we will always remember what the Father has done and what Jesus Christ, the head of this church, they loved us. They kept us. They cared for us. And they alone, will save us. And they've promised to do that with the blowing of those trumpets. And this is a mighty day. This truly is. And atonement this year is going to even be more mighty for us, because now we know that we stand with God. And it will be one of the first times in almost 2,000 years that the church understands fasting and standing together with Jesus Christ. And he will bless his church when we stand that day with him. So look forward to atonement. Go over those sermons on fasting and really come with the right attitude and mind with that, because it's totally different than we ever had before. It is a day of joy to stand with our Father and Jesus Christ, and we stand against one thing in unity. We stand against Satan the devil. Satan's the only one who sees us stand there, but he's the one we want to see standing with our Father. And when we resist with an acceptable fast, when we resist Satan, he has to flee from us. He has no more part here. He has no more part in God's church anymore. He has been exposed. Now, atonement, he has to go. And that's going to be a great day for all of us. So, brethren, pray for one another. We have all the feast days coming. And that all of our travel is done right, that God protects the feast site with all these hurricanes going on down there. And Satan hates us and wants to destroy everything. So let's pray and ask God to give us grace in his sight, and pray for one another, and we will see you all back, I guess, next Sabbath, and then on to atonement. So have a good Sabbath, and we will close with that.